Yippee! Yippee! Yippee!
Listen, let's
the
title of this thing. Don't title again.
And I did only be a little money.
Is it rolling, Bob?
Check, check. Welcome, Dixon Janes, episode number 792. It is still May the 29th, or 30th maybe. And 2020, in these chaotic times, we'll get into that later. I'm just sitting in the road truck. I just put on my latest CD. Remember how thrilled I was a couple of podcasts ago when I said, oh, I've got 5 CDs worth of music by Love and Rockets? Well, now I have 6. I went online. I got an email from Deja Vu Discs, where I like to buy my used discs, because discs are just nice to have to play in my Toyota or here in the road truck. And either on the front system or on the back stereo, which I'm listening to now. Anyway, they had Express, which was their second CD, for $6.99. They had sent an email telling everybody, we're open for business, here are the rules, you got to wash your hands with sanitizer, limited number of customers, prefer you wear a mask, we are. So I did all those things. And as soon as they were open, I raced over. I was the first customer in, and found it, picked it up, bought it, and now I'm listening to it again. I love it. I just love this group. And it's, again, it's so exciting to find something that, you know, you didn't know before. And you know now, even though it's from, 1986, this is quite a while ago. So anyway, that and then the Robert Mitchum book I told you I had ordered and bought. I haven't talked much about it and I won't. But it means I'm watching extra carefully for every movie that's on TV of, you know, vintage films. Oh, there's so many of his yet to see. And when you're reading about it and who's directing, who was in it, what was the background, what was going on, you know, what was going on in his life. One reviewer of this book called Robert Mitchum, Baby I Don't Care, said there's too much on film, or an awful lot of it was to do with film. But basically, I mean, that's who he was. He was a film star. They did as much research as possible about his background, his life, his growing up. He was a very good liar, so he would tell completely different stories to the press just for the hell of it. So it'd be very hard, you know, to just write a factual thing like somebody from the history books, a president or somebody, where it's all documented. But I'm at the point now, 1948, when he was busted for marijuana. Now, he started smoking marijuana when he was hanging out with hobos, hitching rides on freight trains. And that's not that sounds like a studio made up bit, but that part is pretty solid. They were really poor and he had to leave home early. And, so it's right up to the trial now. And, you know, what movies were held by this point, Howard Hughes has entered the picture. He bought out RKO Pictures, which was on a downhill slide. Hughes was an absolutely crazy character you all know about. So it's interesting to get in on that angle, too, of all the starlets he planted all around Hollywood in their own little apartments because he could afford to, and then hold them for pictures or maybe no pictures, just keep them on ice. Crazy. And very fond of Jane Russell, and, of course, put her in a lot of movies. Who wasn't the most best actress necessarily, but certainly had the looks that appealed to Hughes, who, according to this story, well, no, the Hughes biography, was bisexual and kind of liked Robert Mitchum himself. Anyway, it's just all interesting stuff, and it's finally got me back to reading because I wasn't able to read before. Now, meanwhile, this is Saturday, just afternoon. My wife is out mowing the lawn. I saw her come out, like, looking like just the face of anxiety. She had already spent the morning cleaning. She's out now mowing the lawn, and there's a flat city strip in front. So when she went to do that, I walked over and I grabbed the mower and said, I'll do it. And she said no, and I said yes. Don't worry, this isn't a bad story. And she said, okay, well, do it later. I'll do the hilly part now because I cannot do the hilly part. So she's off doing that. And I'll have to be pretty quick on the draw. She just wants it done before the rain comes. I'm thinking, well, hey, if it's raining today, do it tomorrow. But no, that's not the way she thinks. So I don't feel guilt, in other words. I can't do it. It's just dangerous for me. I can't be on an angle. And it's all hills on this front part. But the flat part I said I'll do, and the rear part I'll do another day. I wanted to end or tie up how I ended last one. She had lost her wallet. If you listen to the last Dixon Jane's podcast, she had lost her wallet at the filling station. I got a call back from the filling station. Yes, they see it. They saw where the wallet was. They saw where the wallet wasn't. So that day, of course, I went up to the filling station and thanked them. Then she said, we can't give it to you, but the police can get it. So I went straight to the police station, walked right in through the door that said, do not enter, stop, you know, because of COVID-19, no walk-ins. I didn't even see the signs. And they ushered me back out politely and said, well, what you have to do is fill out an online report, and then we'll send somebody to get the tape. Well, okay, great. So I went back home, filled out the report, very detailed. And within minutes of filing the report, I got an answer back telling us, sorry, but you don't qualify. And it was a legitimate enough reason. Forgive me. I just thought you'd like to know. Here's the reason. We're sorry for the following. Problem was found during review of your submitted report. Lost. An item was accidentally misplaced or left behind somewhere versus stolen. Someone removed the item from your lawful possession with the intent to steal. So it was lost, not stolen, even though they stole it when they found it on the ground, but they didn't steal it from her directly, right? We no longer take reports for lost property unless the value is over $500 and accompanied by a serial number or other unique identifier. So that's the end of that. Turns out she had cash in there, maybe up to $100. She also had coupons for this Olympic U of T facility where she could go swimming. Those were all lost as well. So it was a hit. And it's just bloody annoying that the person who picked it up, the right thing would be to do, turn it into the manager, and they would find the owner, or we would have got it within an hour, or steal it, you fuckers. And that's what they did here in Scarborough. So I'm going to end there. I'm going to stop there and get on with something else a little later. That out. No idea what the opera that's from, but it's CBC 2, Saturday Afternoon at the Opera. I quite like a lot of the stuff, but I'm very unfamiliar with opera. But here on the Dixon Jane's podcast, we got other stuff to talk about. First of all, just a correction. I said my wife came out, you know, holding the lawnmower with a look of anxiety. It was not anxiety, it was determination. And she was determined to get the lawns front and back mowed before the rains came. Well, it's quite sunny now. The rain never really did come. But she did get them mowed in a time that I could not have approached at all. I mean, she's just so full of energy and just puts her mind to something. It's like when she's got to prepare a meal, she'll just go into the fridge, take things out, whip together, and suddenly you've got two or three meals done, ready. And it's like it's almost superhuman. And it was the same. And so she did the front lawn. Next thing I hear, the mower in the back. I race out there. Give me the mower. Give me the mower. I'm, you know, pleading to give it back. No, I'm just going to finish it. I'm just, the battery's going to die. I'm just going to go quickly. And so I gave up. It wasn't a problem. You know, I mean, I want to volunteer to do the things that I can do, but if she's just going to be insistent on doing it herself, so be it. And it was. I know last podcast I ended up sounding like I was feeling really bad about, oh my God, why aren't I a nicer person? And this was over the loss of the wallet and me not being sympathetic, empathetic enough. But I did the things I was supposed to do, and so the next day I didn't feel so bad. I mean, I went up, you know, she told me not to bother, and I did follow it through, and I went to the police station, I went to the gas station, I filled out the report, I followed up, I got the answers. So, I think sometimes maybe I overreact. I don't know. If I'm in a bit of a frail state, it doesn't make any sense to me. Logically, and here I go, logically, that's what the problem was last time. I don't see any reason why I would be troubled, and yet I seem to be. I seem to be. There's almost a push and pull of, like, not wanting to be with people, not wanting this social isolation to end. Like, why would that be? And almost ready to have grudges with people or disown myself from this person and that person and that person for whatever reason. I don't think it's a permanent thing, and I don't think it's really a mental decline. It is probably a case of me overanalyzing, as I so often do. And again, the answer is, well, if you just pull your head out of your own ass, you might, you know, be able to think more clearly about other people, other things. So let's try that. Let's try that. With something that I'm a little nervous about talking about, because this is, it's current news. This is the murder of George Floyd. I'm so afraid I was going to get his name backwards and be accused of, you can't even get his name right. It's George Floyd, not Floyd George or, you know, anyway, the fellow who was murdered by a police officer by putting his knee on his neck and not letting go until he died. I guess technically he might have died then or died in by the time they got him to the police station. It was witnessed, it was filmed, the whole world has seen it. And it's brutal and horrible. And America erupted in riots and anger over this whole thing. It is really hard to believe that one police officer could do this while at least three others stood around and watched and didn't try and stop. So people have expressed their outrage, their anger. This is just a string of many. It just continues on. The killing of black people by white police officers. And so in Atlanta and in Minneapolis where this happened, and all over the states last night, protests in the streets, and it wasn't just black people, it was whites and blacks and browns and everybody, just anger at everything that's going on. So crowds still during this time of COVID-19, people out in the streets. But a group of that, of course, decided the only solution was to burn buildings and set fire to police cars and, you know, destroy things. And that's just not a good way to. That doesn't help. It might for some people, throwing a rock might ease some frustration, especially if it's aimed at a police officer. But destroying buildings and looting the buildings and going in and you know, white or black people, and black people will tell you, this is not helping the cause here by looting a Walmart or setting liquor stores on fire, raiding them first. But you don't want to focus on that. Let's not just... This is what, of course, catches the news, what I watch far too long on CNN. The flames, you know, this is not what it's about. What I would really like to focus on, of course, we can't, but what interests me about this is the minds of the people. Now, the guy who did it, the police officer who is now under arrest and charged with murder, I believe, or some charges, and there's a great worry that, boy, if he doesn't get jail time, there'll be more riots. You can be sure of that. At the same time, you've got to be careful here. You can't just offer him up as a sacrifice. Well, he's not. It's clear he murdered somebody. He'll have to pay his dues. So there's really no sense of sympathy. This is just a brutal act that could have been stopped at any time had he listened to anybody, had he thought about it, and he didn't. And we'll just have to face the consequences. But I'm interested in the others. Now, there was further film came out today showing others are involved in pinning him down. This is after he's handcuffed, he's down on the ground, and then the knee goes on his neck till he's crying to his mother, saying, "I can't breathe." It was you could use the word a lynching. I know this is not pleasant to listen to, and maybe I shouldn't even be talking about it, but what I'd really like to know is what is going on in the brains. Here's me being overly self-analytical and reflective. Oh, I've upset my wife by not being sensitive. What were they thinking? What are they thinking now? What is any one of them thinking? If only I had stepped up and stopped him or pulled him off. And what was it that stopped them? Was it cowardice? Were they afraid? Was this the alpha male they didn't want to challenge? Did he have some power over them? Or were they just as guilty and didn't care because it's just another black criminal? Like, what really? And what are they thinking now when they've seen what's happened? When they've seen they're going to be arrested if they haven't been already? And then they see the destruction that came as a result of this act, that had they just acted differently, had they just taken that step and said, hey, but he's got enough, he can't breathe, get off him, man, hey, don't do that, had they just done that, stepped up. And so is this replaying in their head? Are they suicidal now, thinking of, why was I so cowardly not to do the right thing when I knew that's what I should have done? Or did they even know that? That's what I want to know. And if this seems off topic, well, I'm sorry, but no, it's not to me. This is humans who've caused this and brought this about. I'm not so interested in the mind of the guy who runs into Loblaws and takes whatever it is he's going to take, or hates cops anyway and always has hated cops and always will hate cops, and therefore if he can get a rock thrown at one of them, good. I don't care so much about that, but I care about what stops a man from doing the right thing. Okay, got that out of my system. It's not easy, and it's not easy looking at America, and there's a feeling that this is, oh my God, how do we ever begin to fix that nation? Is it even possible? Is electing a new president going to be enough to bring about the change that's needed? I don't think so. Scarborough Dude, oh my God. Signing out, hear a little more opera. Time.
in liberating strife. Who more than self our country loved? Singing something like this. Listen here. Oh, beautiful, far spacious skies, far amber waves of grain, far purple mountain majesties. Over the fruited plain. But now wait a minute, I'm talking about America, sweet America. You know, God done shed his grace on thee. Yes, he did. Heavy brotherhood from sea to shining sea. You know, I wish I had somebody to help me sing this.
Better. You want a chicken too? All right, you can have a chicken. Whoop, whoop. All right, that's all you get. Oh, listening to the Mirror People. I'm so happy with my feet on the ground. I love that line. Of course it is Love and Rockets, and it's on the background. I hope it's not too loud and overshadowing yours truly. Overshadowing? No. Oh. Yeah, happy June. May is done. May was a wild month. It is June 1st today, 2020. A Monday, beautiful, bright, sunny day here in Scarborough, and I got no place to go and nothing to do. So I'm sitting in the road trek talking to you. I just sent an audio message to a friend in Atlanta, Kenneth, who I've talked about before. Maybe he was even on the podcast or one of them. A listener from the beginning, and I'm just thrilled. Last time I talked about Vicky, and I won't go in at length about Kenneth, but just to say that it's wonderful to hear from him, a person considerably younger than myself, probably still in his 20s, I guess, and is about to head cross-country in America on his bike with his partner. And it's quite an undertaking. And he's the one who walked the Appalachian Trail not too long ago. And is just a man who likes to go out and have adventures. And it's refreshing to know people like that. It's exciting. And I'm thrilled that the Dixon Janes podcast can sometimes attract these kind of listeners. It's not your average Dick and Jane who tunes into Dicks and Janes. It's the special ones who listen. And he's one of them. So anyway, that made me happy, just sending an audio message back to him. Oh, my God. I talked about breeze last time, and I can feel the breeze. I got the two windows open, facing the back, my usual position. And it just feels so nice. I'm looking at the trees. I mean, it's just this magic of one season changing into the next. Now, we've done ours in a crazy way, because it sort of went from winter to fall to summer. What season was it? Was winter. We were supposed to have spring. It's kind of an awkward spring. And now I guess we're full summer with just the trees and the leaves. Oh God. Honestly, I know I say it every time and it must be so boring to hear, but trees all around to just look out the open window. And what do you see? Or what do you look at? You look at trees. Okay. All right. On to the business at hand. Oh, my God. I thought I was going to go there, and maybe I won't. It just sucks the juice right out of you, the things going on in the States. I guess over the murder, and it is a time. Oh, no, I don't want to talk about it, and I don't think you want to hear about it. I just spent far too much time reading a blog post from Montreal in praise of the protests, because we've had them in Canada too, and you know, across Canada, and for the most part, positive and peaceful, but addressing the same issue. There's racism here too, and don't you forget it. Our treatment of the Aboriginal people and so on, and blacks, and there is discrimination, and it rears its head. Sometimes more often it would appear in Quebec than other places, but anyway. Somebody posted from Montreal on a post that's supposed to be non-political, but somebody let them do it. And there were, at last count, like 160 responses, you know, of people just jumping in there. And what happened, as always happens, here I go, I'm telling you anyway, but I'm just giving you a condensed version. Of the people reacting to the video that was shown of after the peaceful protest and demonstration and charges of racism, filming of people throwing bricks into the window of, I guess, Steve's Music Shop, a well-known music store in Montreal, climbing in through the broken windows and doors and running away with two guitars in their hand. You know, that sort of that image was played, and it got to people, and it gets to me, like, hey, you fucker, you can't do that. And then, of course, people, well, you don't understand the violence. You don't know what it means to be black. We say, no, whoa, we're talking something different here. That guy, these guys organized a robbery of a music store. You can't get away with that. And all the pushback, hey, you're missing the important point. Somebody was murdered in Minneapolis. No, whoa. And, you know, here I am almost smiling about it because the comments, the pushback. And then I realized the guy who posted it, who at first sounded so reasonable and saying, hey, you folks, you should recognize you should have been out there. This was a good thing. He responded, stayed on for all the counterattacks about Antifa and or is it Antifa? And everything else. And he's like, he took on everybody. And I realized, oh, okay, well, wait a minute. No, you did have, what is it, a horse in this game, a dog in this game, a dog in this fight, whatever. You knew what you were doing. You were baiting some folks and continued to throughout in the comments and counter comments and wanted to have people up in arms. So that you could say, you care more about broken glass. Well, people said, no, it wasn't just the broken glass. It was the planned, you know, was it planned? But I guess my feelings about it, yes, the protests, especially the peaceful ones, were good. And they made a point and they got coverage. But there are people who that is not their agenda. Their agenda is to stir up shit and get people fighting and set fire to police cars, every one of which will be replaced. The police don't care. They're going to get a new car. Somebody's going to pay for that. Yeah, that money's going to come from somewhere. And again, as soon as I say that, I can hear somebody challenge me. Is that all you care about? And it is one of the things I care about. No, I care about racism, brutality, violence, systemic racism, police who are, maybe some of who are really white supremacists and somehow they've found their way in, and cover-ups. Yes, I care about those things. I think one of the best lines I heard was on TV today, coming from the States. It's not just about the election in November. It's voting on the local level for your county sheriff or whoever all these other people are that get voted into office. That's where you've got to organize. That's where you have to make the change. And you can make the change right down to school councils and everything else if you can organize these people. But the people who are setting the cars on fire, throwing the bombs, throwing the fire grenades and everything else, that's not their game. That's not their interest. They want chaos. They are anarchists. This is their game. And they win. They take control and they get everybody stirred up. People like me, stirred up. Because these fuckers walk off guitars. And right away, of course, well, so what? You don't think Steve's is insured? Of course they're insured. They've made more business, because of the theft last night than they have in the past 2 months because of the COVID-19 closures. You know, celebrate for Steve's. Who cares about the fucking guitars? It's just some people, myself at heart, believe it or not, I'm a law and order kind of guy. I don't like people breaking the rules. I don't like littering. If you don't like littering, you don't like somebody smashing windows and stealing. You know, and it's also, it's pathetic to see people smashing and running out with as many pair of running shoes as they can carry. There's something really pathetic, sad. And it isn't, you know, color it whatever way. And I guess this is the thing. People will hear this the way they want to. And probably most of the people who don't agree with me probably don't listen to this anyway. So I'm not trying to stir anybody up or get into an argument or win a battle or, you know, make a point here. You got to listen to this. This is just how I feel. And I think that's the thing that comes across. Is one of the things that it's bothersome is that people are becoming afraid to say anything in case they land on the wrong side or it's interpreted the wrong way. The same way on the last podcast, I said I really want to get into the minds of the cops. And it looks like those three who just didn't do anything will probably be arrested too. I think they're going to have to be. Well, I doubt they'll be charged because how do you prove, you know, that they were complicit in the murder? But anyway, exploring issues from different sides, you know, this, it doesn't mean I'm blind to police violence and racism. God, I've been through a lot of this shit. I lived through the computer riots at Sir George Williams, okay? Piece of history there for anybody who wants to look that up. All right, enough. That's it. That wasn't fun. I didn't enjoy that. So I'm going to stop and I'm going to come back when I got something happier to share. Yeah, promises. Next thing is going to be something fucking happy, all right? Bye for now.
John is in a basement mixing up the medicine. I'm on a pavement thinking about the government. The man in a trench coat, badge out, laid off, says he's got a bad cough, wants to get it paid off. Look out, kid, it's something you did. God knows when, but you're doing it again. You better duck down the alleyway looking for a new friend. The man in a coonskin cap in a pig pen wants $11 bills. You only got 10. Maggie comes fleetfoot, face full of black soot, talking at the heat, put plants in the bed, but the phone's tapped anyway. Maggie Maggie says the minute say they must bust an early man. Orders from the DA. Look out, kid, don't matter what you did. But walk on your tiptoes, don't tie no bows. Better stay away from those that carry around a fire hose. Keep a clean nose, wash your clean clothes. You don't need a weatherman to know which way the wind blows. Oh, get sick, get well, hang around the inkwell, hang bell, hard to tell if anything is gonna sell. Try hard, get bought, get back, ride rail, get jail, jump bail, join the army if you fail. Look out, kid, you're gonna get hit by losers, cheaters, six-time users, hanging around the theaters. Girl by the whirlpools, looking for a new fool, don't follow leaders, or watch your parking meter. Oh, get born, keep warm, short pants, romance. Learn to dance, get dressed, get blessed. Try to be success. Please her, please him. Buy gifts, don't steal, don't live. 20 years of schooling and they put you on the day shift. Look out, kid, they keep it all hid. Better jump down a manhole, light yourself a candle. Don't wear sandals, try to forge the scandal. Don't want to be a bum, you better chew gum. The pump don't work cause the vandals took the handle.
Welcome to Rogers Wireless Voicemail. Please enter your password. You have two saved wireless voice messages. First saved message.
Ken, it's Brian. I'm here with Liam and Sam. We're just sitting out back. Having a few beer. And we were listening to your podcast. Have you actually cut the lawn that you said you were going to do on May the 23rd. Anyway, we'll give you a shout. Are you kicking around or what's happening? Anyway, I was wondering about dropping up to have a coffee with you maybe next week. Oh, anyway, let us know. Did you cut the lawn? We're curious. Or did Melco do it? Okay, bye for now.
To erase this message, press 7. To reply to it, press 8. To save it, message erased. Next saved message.
Ken, 今仕事終わりましたよ。これからモールマートじゃないや。ノーフリューズにグロスリーに行って、でガスがエンプティーなのでガスを入れて、それから帰ってきます。サッパーは I have no idea。もし何か、すぐ作れそうなものあったら帰ってから。そうでなかったら、ピッツァか何かだと思います。OK, anyway, bye bye.
To erase this message, press 7. To reply to it, press 8. To save it, message erased. End of messages. Main menu. To check your wireless voice messages, press 1. Thank you for calling. Goodbye.
Hello. And welcome back. It's Thursday, June 3rd, about 1:30 in the afternoon. And of course, I'm sitting in Sal. Usual position. The sun has just come out. How wonderful. CBC all in the background. And I really, really have no idea what words are going to come out. I know what I want to talk about, but how I express it... I'm just going to have to chance it. And for that matter, whatever I said before, I just record and don't plan, don't script. And then sometimes, of course, always if I listen back, I think, oh my God, I gave the wrong word there. And maybe sometimes just didn't say things the way I wanted to, or it's certainly open for... I shouldn't say misinterpretation, somebody interpreting it in a different way than I intended, and that's what I'm afraid will happen today. It has just happened on Discord. I posted something that I thought was funny, a Canadian hiding behind the curtains, eating chips, watching what's going on, and the caption was, Canada watching United States news or something like that. And, of course, I have been watching... day and night. everything that's going on in the States, in particular, since the murder of George Lloyd. I've talked about that. I don't know what I've said. But it is big news here. And, of course, there's just been night after night of protests and the sideshows that go on, the looting and so on. But more emphasis now is being put on the peaceful protesters and Trump's threat to call out the army and deal with it that way. And I guess the most shocking isn't even the right word. It's almost frightening because it is just so... That's a beautiful recording. It was so wrong. The American pianist Murray on so many levels of the church that's near the White House where all, you know, presidents go to pray when they're in office, except for Trump. He decided it would be a good time for a photo op. But there were peaceful protesters sitting there. So, of course, heavy-duty forces come out, tear gas them, fire rubber bullets, clear the area so that Trump can walk from the White House and stand in front of there holding a Bible. Now, I mean, you could, in a movie, people would say, oh, come on, you're going too far. Nobody would do that. But he did that. And to me, that's... I don't know if tipping point is correct here. We'll get back to tipping points. But just such a clear sign of the man's... what is it? Insanity is one way, completely out of touch with reality. But others would say, no, 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 he knows exactly what he's doing. It's a last grasp, signaling his base. Look at me, I'm on your side. I mean, it says America's a Christian nation. That's one of the things, one of the subtexts, right? That's in the face of any other religion. No, hey, I'm the president and I'm holding a Bible. Watch this. But also his Christian supporters. I won't go on much further about that, but it's something I don't think I'll ever forget. Including watching the build-up to it. Like, oh my God, they're going to have to clear these people. Yes, they cleared those people in record time, you know, after he had made a speech. Anyway, you know. It's so hard to, hard for me to properly express how I feel about these things. I mean, alarmed is one word, shock is another. I don't know about surprised anymore, but just... Oh, my God. But I think what's the problem is that there's some feeling on behalf of, I think, probably a lot of people, and for good reason, that Canadians have become quite smug. Ah, this is Americans, you stupid people. That's what you've done. And tarring all Americans with the Trump brush, which is, you know, ridiculous. We know where the votes were, and we know that that was not the case. But I guess we are so grateful he's not ours. And chances of somebody like that being elected in Canada, I think we can safely say are really fucking slim. So, yeah, I guess there is a certain degree of smugness and pride and holy fuck, guys. But here we are as people, very similar. I always refer to Americans as our cousins. Because our ancestors came from the same places. There's so much, our cultures just completely, I won't even say overlap, America overlaps ours. But as people, as individuals, especially middle-class white people, there is just so much in common. That's not meant to exclude people. Don't take it the wrong way. I'm just saying, from my vantage point, I don't feel... I was going to say I don't feel a lot different, but yeah. Fuck the flag. I hate our flag. I hate our national anthem. But I can say that. I saw a recent poll somewhere where there was somebody taking a picture of an American standing on an American flag, and the person took great pride in putting it up on his, identifying the person by name, his address, his phone number. They had got the information and put that out there to all his followers on Facebook, basically saying it's open season. Here's the guy who did this. If you ever see him, just beat the shit out of him. Wow. Anyway, I know I'm rambling here because it's really hard to hold on to a thread. I promised at the end of the last clip I'd have something joyful, so I tried. I put in that little clip of Brian listening to the podcast, wanting to know if I mowed the lawn. Yes, Brian, I mowed the lawn that very day. And then, as you probably heard in this podcast, or I don't know which one, my wife went and did the mowing the rest of the time. Maybe that was the beginning of this. I can't keep track because this is just a continual onslaught on your ears week by week. I guess one of the questions I have to address is, am I only understanding things from the perspective of a Canadian watching American news and saying, oh, I'm glad that's not us? Well, yeah, that part is true. I'm glad that's not us. And yeah, I'm watching CNN. I'm watching probably the same people Tennessee Jason watches. But we feel it. It's not a detachment. We care. I'm saying we. How can I say we? I care. And it's taking me back to when I was younger and was aware of the war in Vietnam and how that made me feel. And I just knew. I mean, I was in Europe traveling, 1969, hitchhiking around, meeting up with Americans, maybe on leave or with the 7th Fleet in Greece. And, you know, wanting my passport, wanting to somehow get out of the hell that they were facing. And it was just so close. It was just that border. And, of course, people were crossing the border, coming to Canada to get away, giving up their family, giving up their girlfriends, giving up any hope of a job, facing jail time if they ever returned to escape that war. And you couldn't help but think about it all the time. My God, what would I do? And the politics, the year of 68. Somebody asked me today, well, what was it like when you were 1970 and you saw the Kent Street Massacre? And so there's never been a detachment. In case people think that, there is no, like, holy shit, like, we're on another planet looking at this. It's just so close. There was always that sense of relief. God, how I felt about not having to face draft and the war and how horrible I knew that war was. And I guess that's it. Like, I feel as much as any Betty feels. And I'm wanting to move into something positive here. I'm wanting to get into a better space. I'm wanting to find some hope. And we're just barely out of, in fact, we're not out of. Ontario had 400 and something cases of COVID-19 yesterday, 300 and something today. We're not over it here. And it just seemed that we've just jumped from this social isolation, everybody proud of themselves for doing the right thing, staying home, wearing a mask, only shopping once a week. And then this other thing happens, and suddenly that's all that's in the news. Forget COVID. Well, of course, there will be an uptake in cases from all the people in close proximity to others, including the police, not wearing masks and carrying COVID-19. It will come back. There will be another wave and another. And I guess I felt for a long time like, wow, this is, it seemed as if in my lifetime, this was the most real thing that ever happened. This was the tipping point that was finally going to bring an end to any belief in God. Okay, that was one thing. No, you can't believe there's any kind of a God you can pray to who listens, who's involved in any remote possibility of a God tuning in, watching. Now, I leave the door open for, okay, there is there's consciousness that exists in the universe, and it's where it is, I don't know, that there's a thing that there's a life force, there's something we're connected to, there is a oneness. And somebody might say, okay, well, let's call that God. Okay, all right, sure, go ahead. But the idea of this, the reality of, no, this is the biology of life. This is what you are. And things can get in and they'll fucking kill you the way cancer will and so on, because there isn't a set of rules. This is just another force that's fighting for its life and doing everything it can to survive and continue and grow. And it just happens that you might be the host that gets killed by it. But that is the reality of biology, this human existence that we are. Okay, so I thought that would be a significant turning point. Sorry if I'm shouting, but I am wired up. I am wired up. I confess to being stressed, angry, anxious, frail, defensive, fucking defensive. But the other thing is, with these protests in the streets, I really, really, really have been holding out hope. This is another turning point. This is it. This is the final one. This is the death. I mean, there will be others. We know there will be others. Things will happen. Stories will be told. But this one will not be forgotten. I remember Rodney King. I remember those riots. I remember all these, well, not all of them. I'm sorry. No. It's not a part of my life. I live this very privileged, very safe, very wonderful existence of food every day and a comfortable vehicle, camping vehicle to sit in when I feel like it, and a cat to cuddle, and nothing is going to touch me here on this quiet street in Scarborough, that I am the safest fucking most lucky person on the planet, along with quite a few others. But the reality that black people face in terms of hatred and racism and murder, that this one has to be the one that's going to change things. This is it. You cannot go back. I heard an amazing speech today by the new lawyer brought in for the George Lloyd family. And he was wonderful the way he spoke. And there was a real wake-up that is resonating. And maybe I had hoped with COVID-19 and this, these would be the forces that will actually be the tipping point that makes the change, that there will be more equality, that the injustices will be addressed, that people will see the root causes of inequality and poverty and do something. And maybe that's just wishful thinking, that not a chance this will blow over like everything else. I'm just so hoping. It's not, I guess, I just finally, I want to say, keep using we, and I can't say we, but I'm not indifferent. All of this touches. We feel it. I feel it. I care. I want to change. I want a better world. I believe that all of my life. I don't do a very good job of expressing it. I don't do a very good job of showing it, demonstrating it. I haven't done enough. But that's who I am at my core. And I know that's not enough to say, oh, hey, you got to do more. I just don't know. There's other trivial things in my life that I measure my life by. And maybe there comes a time when you just, okay, I want to park all the serious stuff. I want to just put that aside. The reason I put in that little clip of Brian listening with his friends, his son and his girlfriend, on his deck drinking beer, listening to the Dixon James podcast, that made me happy. And they're having a beer and they want to know, okay, Ken, what have you done now to piss your wife off? Because Brian knows me, my wife, and our family, and an awful lot about us. And then that clip of my wife calling, how I love to hear her voice, how I love that little bit of her talking, that mixture of English and Japanese, and how just when I hear that, it's just so wonderful. And these things, it's almost like, no, hey, there's more serious things going on, buddy. You can't celebrate that. But I listened to Mark Maron today. No, not Mark Maron. Who does what the fuckers, what you... Yeah, Mark Maron, sorry. Who just lost his partner, who died suddenly. And he's trying to cope with it. And he talked about his old cat. And how at 4 in the morning he'd go downstairs and maybe just lie down on the sofa and hope that his cat had enough energy to get up and climb on his chest and just nurse this cat for a while, knowing it's going to die soon. And how touched I was by that and how beautiful it was to know here's a man, somebody doing his best. I mean, what a marvelous guitar player to entertain on a podcast, to interview people, to get stories out of them. And I felt, for the first time, close to Mark Maron. I felt, good for you, you fucker, good for you. You did a great job, but I'm especially glad you love your cat so much. As I do mine, and how wonderful it was today. To pick my cat up, to make a bed for my cat. The bed is not enough. I have to lay down pajamas and fold them just right and make a little pattern and a shape. So it's a softness, and put the cat on there and just stay there and lie down beside and stroke and stroke and stroke until the purring stops, and then just hold her soft, warm belly and just help her sort of drift off and go to sleep in that nice, cozy place because she was out all night. And how a little thing like that. And can't we measure our lives by those things too? And can't we sometimes the reality... That's why I won't do acid. The reality, the being hit in the face by what the world is really like and how it really is for most of the people on the planet, how horrible life can be. There's almost a duty to, if you have these things, enjoy these things. And boy, oh boy, oh boy, could that be misinterpreted. No, sir, no. Please understand what I'm trying to say. Find love where you can, even if it's your cat. I don't know. I can't do any better than this, and I'm tired. And make of it what you will. I'm very, very, very much in a defensive mode from an exchange on Discord. I'm sorry. I apologize to those people that, because I set it up, and I know I go to Discord every day wanting to engage in a conversation, and somehow I find that more often than not, I just ruin it. That for some reason, I don't come across as a nice guy I like to think I am. Well, so be it. Scarborough Dude, God damn it, fuck. Signing off for now. I don't know if this is the end or what. Bye for now.